Well, good morning, gentlemen. And it's greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, of course, once again, it's a privilege and an honor to be here before you. So let us go ahead and start with a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come under the authority of your word, the joy of your word, the power of your word. And we pray right now, dear Father, that you will protect us from error. And may your word be in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. Thank you for these gentlemen, these brothers, dear Father, perhaps those on their way. And we're grateful, dear God, for all the things that our songs have mentioned this morning and for every evidence, dear God, we've seen on the way here, that you are glorious and you are saving, God. And for this, we are grateful. Thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we may enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's give God a hand praise, beloved. Certainly thank God for these God-centered, Christ-centered songs, and thank God for the presence of you men as well, and thank God for just this fellowship, the like-mindedness that is revealed here when we come on these Friday mornings, and it's just so wonderful to again to be back in your presence, and I'm certainly thankful for the leadership here. Ed, Dennis, and others who continue to keep this wonderful fellowship going. So, again, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to have some guiding principles that we find in God's Word. Would you agree, gentlemen? It is a blessing to have guiding principles that we find in God's Word. And men, it's a blessing to have men like you who believe in the principles of God's word. I mean, it's one thing for God to reveal his principles to us, but it's quite another matter for us to actually believe these things, right? For us to investigate these things, for us to allow God to place these things in our heart and then allow these things, these principles, to guide us. And such men like this are needed right now in a time like this, beloved. Lord knows this world and our families, our relationships need men like you. I mean, I'm not here to patronize you, but I'm here to just thank God for you and let you know that it's very important to have principled men, walking this planet right now, right? I mean, that's really the reason why God is fashioning for himself a people, right? And these people are people with principles. So we thank God for his principles. We thank God, and I thank God for men like you who are walking under the influence of the principles of God's word. But as it relates to Paul, I want to share with you just, if you can join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16, the last chapter in this book, in the last portion of this epistle from Paul. And he pours out some principles that I pray will be helpful for us, to maybe meditate on, to reflect on, and to perhaps even revisit as we continue to, navigate our way through this very challenging, religious and socio-political landscape, right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's look at verses 13 to 14. these are some final instructions that Paul gives the saints at Corinth. And Paul says this, he says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all you do be done in love. Five imperatives here, five principles given by way of imperative. You see, Paul knew that this congregation in Corinth needed to be pointed back to godly principles. And when we say godly principles, I'm talking about truths that derive from Scripture and guide our moral conduct, our decision-making, and our relationships. And so, in other words, everything that we say and that we do and how we engage others flows from these truths that we find in Scripture. And so Paul knew that this was necessary. These principles were necessary in order for these new Christians to thrive for God. Paul saw their potential, but again, he also saw the need for them to grab a hold of godly principles. When we talk about God's word, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about principles. We're talking about supreme standards, right? By which God ultimately judges us. We're talking about principles, and Paul sees how important it is for these saints to have principles and to live by principles. And gentlemen, you know, it was reported to Paul that this church was drifting away. And what were they drifting away from? They were drifting away from principles. Did I mention principles, fellows, by any way? They're drifting away, okay? They're drifting away from principles. And so, you know, these godly principles were being drifted away from, and this was evident in their factions, the immorality, their worldliness, and their indifference to doctrine, and even their indifference to Christ. And so Pastor Paul, through this epistle, he gives a greeting in his normal way. Keep in mind that this is a letter, right? It's important for us to know that this literary form is in the form of a letter. And so Paul, through this letter, he gives a greeting like he normally does. He gives thanks like he normally does. And then he lovingly proceeds to address the problems that have been reported to him. And then he answers some questions in this letter. And then he closes the letter by pouring out five principles that these believers are. Here it is, beloved. They are to immediately put into practice. Paul closes by saying, okay, you know, I've addressed these questions. I'm trying to lead you and guide you in you know, in some of these issues that you brought to my attention. But this is what I need you all to know. You need to do these things, these five things, okay? And so no doubt these principles are timeless, and they need to be put into practice right now, gentlemen. And so I don't propose right now that, you know, you don't know these principles, or I don't presuppose. I only pray that you know, that we again make sure that we're putting these principles into practice. And these are even principles not only that we are to put into practice, but principles that are worthy of us handing down, right? Handing down. We need to put these principles into practice right now. We need to put them into practice because faithful men like yourselves, beloved, you're slowing down. Would you all agree? And I'm not saying that by way of insult. I don't know about you. Well, let me just bring it close to home. I'm slowing down, right? I've been pastoring for 10 years now. It'll be 10 years this month. And, you know, I'm starting to recognize that I don't move as fast as I used to 10 years ago. My thoughts are not as sharp, not to say that they were sharp then, you know. But you all get it, right? I mean, I'm starting to look at these beloved members of this church, and I'm noticing that their walks have turned into shuffles now, that these faithful men and women, you know, don't have as much energy as they had 10 years ago. And yet, as a pastor, I know that there's still some work that needs to be done. There's still principles that need to be lived out. There's still a lifestyle that God expects of us. And so these principles, they need to be put into practice, but the reality is that faithful men and women, you know, we're slowing down. These practices need to be put into place right now. There's a sense of urgency, gentlemen, because, you know, faithful men among us and in our families and in our churches are going home to glory. Faithful women. I don't know about you, but even since the last time we've met, there are some people who have passed away in my own family, strong pastors who have passed away, voices who were very sound in doctrine and no longer with us. These principles, they need to be practiced and they need to be handed down right now, gentlemen. These principles need to be put into practice and handed down because Satan and this world continue to fight against the things of God. These principles need to be practiced and handed down because we continue to, you know, to me, seems like I'm preaching against the wind sometimes. These principles need to be practiced and handed down, beloved, because like the church in Corinth, our churches today can be invaded by human wisdom replacing God's word, by factions, perverted ideas about, you know, the things that God has nailed down in the Bible, and they seem like they're coming loose right now. For those of you that remember that particular quote in the Green Pastures, doesn't it seem that way, like that sometimes, beloved? The things that God nailed down are now coming loose. People are trying to pry it up. But just like this church in Corinth, there was, we see this today. We see, you know, perverted ideas about marriage, about divorce, misuse of spiritual gifts, unlovingness, indifference to the welfare of other believers. This is what was going on in Corinth, and this is what's taking place right now, even in the church. And so, yeah, these principles, they're timeless, and they need to be put into practice right now, and there's a sense of urgency for this. And then the last thing I want to just say real quick, as far as this introduction is concerned, the reason why we need to put these principles into practice right now and to make sure that we're handing them down is because, brothers, time is not going up. Time is not going down. Time's not going to the left. Time's not going to the right. Time is going away. Slowly going away. So there's a sense of urgency for us right now to live out the principles of God's word, to be the light here on this earth, and to hand these principles down. So may God help us examine these wonderful principles and treat them again with a sense of urgency. And so in the balance of my time, I'll just try to get us through these five principles. So Paul provides five principles by way of imperatives and commands. And so if we go back to the text here, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul's talking to these new Christians again who seem, you know, it's evident that they've been drifting away from these fundamental truths. And so as he closes this letter, he says, be watchful. Verse 13, Paul here means, he says, be on alert. Some of you know that I spent a little time in the military as a combat trainer. And when Operation Iraqi Freedom started in the early 2000s, I was associated with I got mobilized to a unit where the flagpole was in Colorado Springs right there at Fort Carson. And then because the training needed to be, associated with the terrain that the soldiers were going to, they moved the flagpole down to Fort Bliss, Texas, to the desert, right? So we build this FOB, right? Construct this FOB with watchtowers and all sorts of things. And so we would move these brigade combat teams, which probably had about anywhere between 1,500, maybe 1,800 soldiers, right? But I guess my point is that we were responsible for training them and preparing them to go into war in both Afghanistan and Iraq, primarily Iraq. My responsibility was to lead a combat training group that essentially trained how to manage a FOB, you know, watchtowers and circulating soldiers into these towers, and, you know, so they can keep an eye on what was going on around them. And one of the things that I loved to do was at about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, just kind of creep up those stairs and go into that tower, right? After the soldiers have looked you in the eye at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, saying, sir, we got it. You know, here's our watch team and here are our shifts and we're on it, right? 2 o'clock in the morning, you walk into that tower, everybody's asleep, right? The watchfulness has disappeared and the fatigue has settled in, amen. And so I know what it, in a time of, you know, just training for war, what it looks like to have the desire to want to be watchful. But then, you know, reality settles in, right? And so Paul knows this. He knows that this idea of being watchful and alert is being compromised here with this church. And this is a big deal for Paul. So he starts with saying, be watchful, be alert. You know, alert is to be in a state of watchful readiness, to be quick to see and to understand and act on the situation. And so these Corinthians, they weren't watchful or they weren't alert in a meaningful way. And Paul recognizes this. And so he urges them to just be on alert. Be on alert for what? It's implied. Reading more of Paul's writings. But we do know here, just looking at the issue with the church, that the culprits here were Satan. Paul's urging him, look, be on the alert for Satan. Be on the watch for certain. Be up for Satan. Be on the lookout for Satan and his schemes and his tricks, right? Be on alert for temptation and for indifference and for false teachers. And this is what they were dealing with. So, gentlemen, I'm asking us right now, even urging us right now to just make sure that we're on alert, right? Be on alert for those things that the devil does and his suggestions and how he may draw us, you know, to a point of indifference where we're not caring about, you know, the things of God, when we're not relaxing, you know, on the gospel and the sense of urgency to share the gospel, when we want to start becoming lazy and that sort of thing. Right now, of course, I'm not saying that this applies to any of you, but, you know, we do. And in general principle, just need to be on the alert right now. Be watchful for these types of things. You see, by lacking watchfulness and alertness, this church allowed their pagan ideas and their habits to come back into their lives and destroy, get this, their faithfulness to the Lord and their fellowship with one another. And that's another reason why I really enjoy, why I'm just so grateful for the fellowship that we have here, that this is being sustained and that it's being kept up, and that in the hearts and minds of you men, you understand how important this is. But see, if we're not watchful and if we're not alert, we can easily even become indifferent to something like this, right? Think that it's not important, that it really doesn't matter. But I thank God that in the hearts and minds of you men, for decades, we've done just the opposite. We claim that this is very important for us to fellowship. And we're not going to allow ourselves to get laxed or lose, let's just say, our alertness as to the importance and the significance of coming together as Christian men to learn together and to pray together and to love on one another. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Paul says, you know, be on alert. Now, I'm just going to say this by way of application, gentlemen. Now is the time for you and I to be watchful, to be on alert in our churches. Those of you, most of us, and if not all of us, are members of churches. Our churches need men to be watchful, to be on alert, to hand down this watchfulness, you know, to other generations. My brothers, our families, our churches, our communities, our city, our relationships need faithful watchmen right now. Those who are on alert, those who are on alert for Satan and his tricks and schemes, those who are on alert regarding temptation, our own personal temptation, and indifferences, and of course, false teachings. The next thing Paul tells them is to stand firm in the faith. He says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Paul means here to hold to the faith. And so this faith that Paul is making reference to here is not the faith of trusting, but the faith of truth, says John MacArthur. In other words, doctrine. Stand firm, right? In the faith. Stand firm in the precepts and the principles that you've been taught. That's what Paul is urging them. You know, go back to the foundational things that you were taught and stand firm on these things. And Jude says, contend for the faith. So we're talking doctrine here, right? We're not talking about the verb of just believing and trusting, but the faith, the doctrine, the principles and the precepts that make up our belief system. And what Paul is saying is, look, you need to stand firm on that. You don't need to waver on that. John MacArthur goes so far as to say that what's important is that this faith, you know, involves the content of the gospel. Stand firm on that, right? Don't be indifferent to the gospel. Don't be lax about the gospel. Understand, or don't be lax about the content of the gospel. Don't be indifferent about the content of the gospel. You see, we talk about the gospel, but the question is this, beloved, do we really know the content of the gospel? We got to stand firm on the content of the gospel. And we have to understand that the content of the gospel is not, you know, infinitely interpretable, right? You and I just can't come up with our own idea about what the gospel is. And so if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul tells us exactly what the gospel is or the content of the gospel. He says, I'm going to give to you just like it was given to me, that Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was resurrected, right? That's the content of the gospel, gentlemen. Paul says, you got to stand firm on that. You know why? Because this is what brought you into the kingdom, and you have to be willing and ready to share this with someone else. And if you're wavering on this, if you don't know this, if you're unable to share this, then guess what? You're messing up the program. Right? So Paul says, you got to stand firm in these things that you believe. And gentlemen, this is what our churches need. We need people, we need men to continue to stand firm on the stuff that we say we believe, on the things that we say we believe, on these principles, on these precepts. I don't know about you, but there's some stuff that's trying to creep into the church, right? And if we're not careful, if we don't stand firm, it will be influential to the point where it'll change the nature of things if we allow it. There's just some things that we have to stand firm on in the church, in our own personal hearts, in our families, in our relationships. And so you see, the Corinthians would not take a firm stand on many things. They had gotten to the point where, you know, the things that they were taught just were not important to them anymore. They were allowing their pagan ideas again to re-enter into their thoughts. And Paul saw this and had to address it. John MacArthur says, little was certain and absolute, but much was relative and tentative. You know, little was absolute, you know, but much was relative. Well, it's just, you know, you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe, and we'll be fine. Yeah. But see, that's not true, or it shouldn't be true, and it shouldn't be so. There are absolute truths that God places in his word, and you and I have been given, by the grace of God, the opportunity to grab hold of these truths and these principles, and they are absolute. They are true for everybody, everywhere, at all times, and God has established this, and they're not to be changed, and they're not to be played with. They're to be taken seriously. And not only, gentlemen, are they for us to be learned, but what good does it do for us to learn principles if we don't bring these principles into our relationships? Amen. And tell others about it, and share it and hand it down with others, amen? And so let me just say this. We got to stand firm in the faith. And if we are to be firm in the faith, then we got to be well taught in the word. Thank God for this group. You know, I've been here. I've heard teachers. I know, you know, I know Ed, you know, he's picking from the church. Oh, anyway, I guess it doesn't matter. That might be an element of pride sneaking in. But I've heard some of you, man, and I know there's some sound teaching taking place here. And this is what we need. We need to be well taught, right? And in order to be well taught, you want to make sure that you're seeking out good teachers. You're seeking out men who are sticking with the Bible and sticking with the word of God, right? You know, that's our responsibility to be well taught, right? To not put up with riffraff and things that are not true and things that are shaky. It's our responsibility to be well taught, to stand firm in the faith as those who are well taught. And brothers, now is the time for us to stand firm in our faith, in our doctrine, and not compromise. Let the brother say amen, beloved. Amen. And now is the time to hold fast to the gospel, okay? Hallelujah. And now is the time to hold fast to the gospel. If there ever was a time to hold fast to the gospel, it's now, okay? Trust me, it's now, beloved. We need to hold fast. We need to stand firm to the gospel. It's uncompromised, right? You know, there's only one gospel, beloved, one, okay? And that one that we have is the only one that can transform a life and bring a person out of the darkness into the marvelous light. It is the only gospel message that can bring a person who was once far near to God. It is the only message that can transform a heart, that can put a person in a right relationship with God, that can bring a person into the kingdom, that can allow the Holy Spirit to to indwell a person. There's only one message that can do this. And you and I have to stand firm on this message. And we can't compromise this message. We can't add to this message. We can't take away from this message. We simply have to trust the message. And guess what? If it saved you, okay, this is generally where the church kind of erupts. It's like, oh, I can save everybody, Pastor Ray. We know that, and we're going to go out there and share it. Amen. But I'll move on. Let me move on to the third point, beloved, what I've already shared with you thus far. Paul says, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Oh, I can get us out in a couple more minutes. Act like men. Let's look at 13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Some translations actually say, you know, be courageous, be mature. See, Paul means here to be that mature person that has a sense of control and confidence and mature courage that the immature or the childish person does not have. This church was compromised because of their immaturity. The pagan ideas now were re-entering their mind because they weren't mature enough to push it back out, to not allow it to take root into their minds again, into their thinking. But they rather were immature and just kind of started accepting everything. No absolute truth. Okay, that sounds good. I'll take that in. Makes me feel good. Yeah, I'll take that in. But they didn't have the courage to just know that what I was taught is the truth and I'm going to stand on the truth. So Paul says, you know, he sees the issue of immaturity and says, you know what, just act like men. Be courageous. You see, the Corinthians, they lack mature courage. That is a developed, confident courage that comes from growing, from trusting God's foundational truths, you know, growing to trust his deep truths. Moving from the elemental teachings to, you know, more deep teachings. They lacked this. They weren't maturing. And when I look out here at you men, I see men who understand the elementary things, but praise be to God, you've moved on from the elementary things, the basic things and the fundamental things, to some deeper things, to understanding theological things, right? Understanding, you know, Christology, understanding sanctification and glorification, right? Understanding, you know, the doctrine of sin, understanding the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, understanding the Godhead, understanding the big picture, right? Understanding God's grand narrative. You didn't start off knowing all these things, but you do now. And so it's because by the grace of God, you've matured. You've allowed yourself to continue to grow and trust God's word from the beginning even till now. That's maturity, gentlemen. So Paul was telling them, just be courageous. Just trust the process. Act like men. And then he says, next, be strong. What does Paul mean here? Paul means here, rely on God for strength. And rely on God to give you the ability to battle and overcome the flesh. Stop leaning towards your own understanding, but trust God in these things. Not these false teachers and not yourself, and just don't give in to things because they sound good to you. But be strong and allow God to give you the strength to withhold or to overcome the flesh and overcome, you know, these false teachers. And see, this is where the Corinthians were weak. And even Paul reminds us, or he points in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you have this congregation who's, again, showing some signs of weakness. And Paul says, don't rely on your own strength. Trust in the God who saved you, and he'll continue to save you and give you the strength to overcome the flesh. Only a strong spirit, brother, can successfully battle and overcome the flesh. And that's what 1 John tells us. John tells us in 1 John 4 and 4, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Gentlemen, now is the time to be strong and to be courageous and to act like men. Now is the time to do that. And then the last thing that Paul mentions is, you know, let all that you do, let it be done in love. And we see this in actually verse 14. I'll go back to verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Paul means here to allow love, the love from God that they have in them by virtue of the Holy Spirit, and you and I too, beloved, allow this love to be the motivating factor for every good work. Let love, you know, dictate, motivate your thoughts, your actions, and your words. You see, the Corinthians were exemplifying all the things that love is not, right? And if you go back to that great love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul reminds them that love in verses 1 through 6 is not boastful. It's It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It's not selfish. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. And this is precisely what they were doing. So Paul is saying, you got to get the love thing right. And Paul knows that. You see, if we look at, you know, what he's already mentioned in terms of, let's just say he's saying, you know, be watchful, be firm in the faith and act like men and be strong. He knows that love has to kind of undergird each of those things. You see, Paul knows that, you know, love keeps our firmness from becoming hardness and cruel. Love keeps our maturity, right, that Paul is calling them to. It keeps it gentle and considerate. Sometimes we can get so much information inside of us, we start to get prideful. People don't even want to have a conversation with us for 5 or 10 minutes because we're hard on folk. We look down on folk because they don't know as much as we do. So Paul has to say, look, you know, just do all this in love. Paul knows that love keeps our maturity gentle and considerate. So gentlemen, as by the grace of God, he has poured into you so much knowledge over the years, but let us not forget to be gentle and to be considerate, even to those who have fallen away from the faith, those in our family, those in the church. Let's be gentle and considerate, brothers. Love keeps our strength or in our abilities. Paul says, be strong, but Paul also knows that love keeps our strength. It keeps our abilities from becoming domineering. You know, we got to be patient and be kind as we are handing down these principles and as we are living out these principles. You see, love is what the Corinthians needed the most, and it's what believers of all ages have needed the most right now. Amen. And now is the time to do all of these things. Now is the time to be watchful in love. Now is the time to stand firm in love. Now is the time to stand, firm in the faith in love. Now is the time to act like men in love. Now is the time to be strong in love. Gentlemen, I'm just going to close by saying, may God help us continue to be watchful and stand firm in the faith and be courageous and be strong. And may he help us do all these things in love. Let us pray. Gracious God Almighty, we thank you right now for these principles. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that with gratitude that you have provided us with these principles, these rules, these standards, these truths as a basis for our conduct and our thoughts. And in a time such as this, dear God, we know that you need us to be faithful. You need us to carry out these principles. So I pray, dear God, that you will allow each of us to do just that, that we will rely on the power of your Holy Spirit to help us live, dear God, in the manner that you've called us, so that we could be the light and call those in the darkness, out of the darkness, into the marvelous light. God help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Anybody got any questions for Pastor Ray? Are you willing to answer some questions, Pastor? Okay, come on, guys, fess up.
And I have to say that this message is very timely.